Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
There are twofold objectives here. The first is to show you what the Bible calls the flesh. The second objective is to show you the solution to it. Praise God. If you do not fully grasp what the problem is, you will not understand the solution as contained in the scriptures. Amen. Now you may wonder why. It's also part of the prophetic agenda of God. You read through the old scriptures, especially Old Testament. The first church did not understand what God was orchestrating in their lives. For them, they felt that God was doing all those things for them. Because it's them. Because they were sons of Abraham. Nobody understood then, or most people did not understand then, that God had his own personal agenda. May we align in the name of Jesus. You can live 1,000 years and not understand God's mind. You can operate the gifts of the Spirit and you still not understand what is on God's mind. You will die ignorant. You will die in darkness. Completely oblivious of what God is doing. Listen to me. We see the pattern in the Old Testament. The scripture said that God revealed his acts to Israel. The power. We saw the power. We saw demonstrations. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said God took the spirit of that was upon Moses and displayed on 70 people and they began to prophesy. The man that they carried him from did not prophesy. He was just standing. Praise God. Prophets do prophets, Lord. Are you with me? That was what men saw. But even those 70 men, I beg your pardon, did you see them again in the Bible? We didn't read of them again. Why? They were more interested in demonstration than in knowing. Now, am I saying demonstration is not good? It is good. Let us go for the two. Tell your neighbor, go for the two. Is your birthright? Know God and also demonstrate his power. Some people say we should not know God. We should just demonstrate power. Some people say no. It is knowing God that is more important. The two is important. Tell your neighbor, the two is important. You will not be true to God if the two is not functional in our lives. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm hearing some people say that no, we don't do evangelism. That was Pastor Ty was told that I said we don't do evangelism. We have gone into God. Irola big. There's no going anywhere, my friend. Go and demonstrate God's power. But it's better, it's also good that you also know God. The Corinthians demonstrated God's gifts. But Paul told them, said, many of you don't know God. I write this to your shame. You must understand God so that you will not walk into trouble. Praise. Amen. So when we talk about the flesh, we have seen from the Old Testament, especially the book of Genesis, that God, in declaring what flesh is. Look, many years ago, in the time past, some people felt the flesh was our physical bodies. And so they started a movement called, and these monks, they built monasteries in Europe and hid themselves there that if I don't have contact with a pastor, I'm just alone. Sin will die. But over the years, they found that was not true. Some people felt that if we punish you and beat you, we will drive sin. You can drive foolishness out of a man's heart. You can't drive sin out of his heart, my king. Why? That's the foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. If you understand chemistry, you understand bonding. You know, how many of you did chemistry here? Which one is tougher? Covalent bonding or ionic bonding? Ionic bonding. What about the bonding of diamond? Is that not covalent? So it's stronger than ionic. You see yourself now. I caught you in a while. Amen. So when that thing is bonded to a child, the talk cannot deliver him. The only antidote that God said can deliver that child is what? Cain. So he said, don't be passive. When he cries, don't say, okay, back came up. No. He said, don't be passive to his death. Deliver him from the path of that will lead him to death. So, parents, don't become modernized. America has become modernized. Their children are killing them now. Amen. This is not my message, yo. Praise God. Sin is a different ballgame. You can be morally upright by reason of training, by reason of upbringing, but that has not exonerated you from the problem of sin. Because it's not of the flesh. It's something much more dangerous. Praise God. The first sinner in recorded history was Lucifer. Amen. He became the first sin, carrier of sin. They said he sinned from the beginning. I don't know when that beginning began. They began to record the history of sin from the time of Lucifer. So when Adam fell, God said, he also has become flesh. Why? Because the thoughts of his heart. I pointed here. Your heart is not here. That's not where your heart is. Where is your heart? Here. No. Your heart is not here either. I don't know where it is. Praise God. But you see, everything in the physical is a reflection of what is unseen. Do you understand me? Just like what controls your whole body is located in the heart. What controls your real being is also your heart. And so Paul, God said, the imagination of the thoughts of his heart is evil. From the day he said, "Kwen," evil began to manifest. It's not gift, it's just, you know, what do you call that one? It was just natural to him. A man of God said a sinner will be a bastard if he doesn't commit sin. Did you get that? You didn't get that. I also didn't get it when he first said it. He had to understand what he was communicating. Who is the father of sinners? Is it not Satan? Now, if a sinner is not committing sin, who will he say he resembles? Eh? You are not following me. The way you are looking at me is as if, where are you going? Don't worry, just follow me. Praise God. It is natural for a sinner to behave like his father. Just like I was this, the OG twins, I said, they look like their father. Praise God. If you give them enough time, they will preach like their father. Praise God. Do you understand me? Don't mind the fact that they are girls. It's just genetic. But there's another genetic aspect that we have inherited from our own father. It's called Satan. And so God said he also has become flesh. And therefore, his spirit will not strive. And therefore limited our lifespan to 120 years. I believe that after that, in the days of David, we found that it was limited to 80. To 70, thank you. So if by strength you are able to wrestle God to a standstill, it can increase it to 80. Now we have found out that in Nigeria they have reduced it to 30. Praise God. Amen. And so we see throughout the whole Bible, we kept seeing that when God brought the law to Israel, the law could not solve the problem that God wanted it to solve. We keep missing the point when we keep looking at the priesthood and the sacrifices. The intention of God is that man should obey him. What led to the fall? The earth of the tree of the knowledge of what? Of good and evil, and the Bible says they died. It was knowledge that killed them. What kind of knowledge? They knew in themselves and became God unto themselves, and for that reason they did not need God anymore. They could choose what was right from what was wrong. Do you understand that? That is the foundation of all our problems. Do you follow me? When I say, Brother Molulu, please carry this chair, the first thing that will come to his mind, the why? It's coming from where? The knowledge of good and evil. And the schools you've attended have so much trained you that you have become rebellious, that it will take something else to compel you to act. Praise God. You don't say why you should act. Except there's a gain or something in it. My friend, you know, if you're unfortunate, your car enters Port-au-Port now. The children around will say, how much will you give us? We'll help you to push. Nobody is thinking of helping anybody. Praise God. The heart, our hearts have become hardened. Do you see dead body around and you are not moved? Some people say, ah! Okonwatile, akonkoja as if it's normal. Am I talking? Pastor, we pass, sometimes we pass, like, we see dead body. We don't stop to start crying. Hey, we just go as if nothing happened. Even my own heart has been hardened. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm communicating this morning. I'm trying to. God will help us. Amen. What am I telling us is that when men fell, something in their heart died. Something could not be touched anymore. Nothing could touch us. We were oblivious to the things of God. We chose what was good and what was evil. We didn't need God. We don't need Him. We can run our lives ourselves. And that is what makes us God. Amen. Because that was Satan told Eve. You will be like God. Knowing good from evil. You will choose on your own. You will make decisions on your own. And most of the time, the decisions we make will always be contrary. Can you take me to Romans chapter 8? Let me start from there this morning. You've seen it. My spirit always strives with man, for he's of the flesh. They shall be 120 years. But go to Romans chapter 8. Can we pick our story from verse 5? Romans 8, 5. Now he now says this. Those that are after the flesh. Can you give me amplified? I want us to look at something else about after the flesh, because you may not understand that Old Testament English. Those who are according or who live according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires are set their what? What did they set? What did they set? Where are we coming from? Flesh. It is natural. Something is controlling that mind of yours. It's not necessarily Lucifer. So, of course, ultimately he's in control, but basically it's your mind. But something in you is in charge of your mind. Something is controlling the way your mind works. Amen. They live according to the flesh and they are controlled by his desires. And they have set their minds and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. Amen. Which is good. The Bible says it was good to the eyes. Able to make one wise. It was where were those transactions taking place? In our mind. Do you know that when you eat, it is not your body that enjoys the food? Do you know? You should know by now. It's not your body that enjoys the food. Of course, your body takes benefits from it. But the enjoyment, that you say, ha, okomide bale. You didn't say, ikomi bale. Is that what you say? Even without you realizing it, you are speaking truth. It is your okon. So what is okon? Amen. How many of you have fasted before? Tell the truth, let the devil be ashamed. Okay. Let me tell you my own story. I normally don't eat my breakfast till around 11, 12. And I'm not hungry between there and then. But let me declare fast. By 8:30, simple 6:30, Matima Ronu, Oluwa, breakfast. Where was it coming from? It was not my stomach. It was coming from somewhere else. It's your mind. It was coming from there. And you will find out that your body will begin to react. That is when all the digestive juice that has never been produced by your body, either so, will now start attacking your stomach. The exercise will start working. Then you will start feeling pain. Ha! Then you start looking at time. Ha! Oluwa, 9 a.m. Yay! Ha ha! Maku! Even those who fight Chinese and the martial arts know that the mind controls the body. Why is that Christians don't know that? It's sad that you don't know that your mind is stronger than your body. And he who controls the mind will control the body. Do you understand me? Right. So the Bible says, can we go back to KJV? The other things I amplify is saying, flesh. That is why they die. Give me verse 6. For to be carnally minded. Amen. To be carnally, it's a mind. It's a structure and arrangement of a mind. Once your mind is carnal and is thinking those thoughts that are ungodly, that are independent of God. No wonder in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was writing, though we are in the flesh, we do not wage war afterward, the flesh. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. All these guns you see, where did they come from? They are products of a mind. Amen. They are products of a mind. You kill a man from the mind before you execute it. It's done in the mind. It's carried out in the mind. It's processed in the mind. Praise God. All we just come to see is a manifestation of it. Amen. And Jesus Christ said, if a man should look at a woman to lust after her, what has he done? He has committed the sin already. What is he talking about? In that mind, you have already committed it. You don't need to act it out before it is recorded in heaven as a sin. It's in the human spheres of life that we wait for you to be caught. That until we catch you, you are not a sinner. Many of the people that have been involved in mass killings in America have always been under the FBI watch. The FBI always knew that they had their propensity. But the FBI cannot act under the law because they have not acted yet. By the time they act, it's too late. And if they survive it, they will charge them for murder. It's only in America that a murderer, goes to jail for a few years. Somebody said, if you kill one person, they will put you in jail. If you kill 10 people, they will say you have a psychiatric problem. If you kill 1 million people, they will call you to negotiate. Sorry to you, imagine more. You are a different species. They have to negotiate with you so that you stop killing. Amen. That's the way the earth is structured. But it's not so with God. Once a thought is conceptualized, execution is a matter of time. Now, you now should begin to understand this type. When a woman, now there's been this argument in America, when is a baby? Is it when it comes out as a baby? No, they have been debating abortion. Should we abort or should we not abort? They feel the, some people say the baby is not yet alive until it's born. And so while it is not yet born, it's not yet a baby. Praise God. From the point of conception, a baby has existed. Life has been created. Praise God. We only wait for 9 months for us to see what was hidden inside. Do you follow me? It has been conceptualized. Likewise, see. Once it's conceptualized, it's, heaven records it. He's a sinner. He has committed it. We only wait for your own gestation period. Everybody has different gestation period. And you see that message preached in creation. Every animal has different gestation periods. That is why every sin and every kind of person have different gestation period. Am I communicating? Amen. To be carnally minded is what? Is death. That you are born again does not, God did not touch your mind when you got born again. It did something else. It works somewhere else. It was not your mind. So Paul wrote in chapter 12 that deal with this mind. That solution is not in God's hands. It's in your own hand. Hello? That therefore presupposes or tells me that there are two things that we need to understand here. Theologians agree that there is, I don't know what they call it, there is that which is by nature called sin. Then there is that other one that when you act, it's called sin too. Do you understand? Amen. What God did was to deal with the one that is the source, the spring, where it springs from. Just because out of the abundance of where? The heart. Paul said also, he said, those who did not see after the simplitude of Adam's sin also died. Praise God. Because what brings death is sin. We had men like Adam, like Abel, who did not commit sin like his father committed. Yet, he died. How he died does not matter. Some people ask me, kilopa, ikuni. That's the right answer to that question. It's a different way to say, ba o lo se ku. Can I say accident killed him? Or they used a sniper to kill him. But what killed him was death. Why was it possible for him to die? Sin. Are you with me? Abel didn't commit any sin, yet Abel died. And since that time, men who are even righteous died. Praise God. Am I communicating? So we understand that there is something fundamentally wrong with us, which God in Christ has dealt with. Praise the Lord. And I want to now start showing you, I'm believing God to let us understand these things. Amen. Salvation is impossible without the shedding of blood. What did I say? It is impossible. Blood must be shed. What is salvation? Let us look at some scriptures. I'm trusting God to help me within the time allotted. If I can't finish, don't worry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew 26 verse 28. Look at what Jesus Christ said here. Matthew 26:28. Am I correct? Yes, 26:28. He said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for what? For many. For the remission of sins." What is the meaning of remission? Don't let me bore you with the Greek. It means release from bondage or imprisonment. It is forgiveness or pardon of sins. Letting them go as if they have never been committed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So without blood, there can be no pardon. Without blood, there can't be forgiveness. Who have you sinned against? God. Primarily, every act of disobedience, every act of sin is always against God. Do you follow me? Joseph said, "How can I commit this great sin and sin against God?" Hallelujah. The problem all of you always have is that you don't think like that. You don't think like that. I'm always seeing, it is Brother Molulu now, it's Brother Molulu now. I cannot say that behind Brother Molulu there's somebody else that is involved in that transaction. Amen. And it's God. And we need to understand that. Some of you will come to church because somebody offended you. You are doing yourself. Oh. Hello? You are doing yourself. You didn't come to church because of your sister. You came to church because of who? God. Amen. If the brother is sitting here, go and sit there. If he's sitting there, go and sit there. Everybody came, everybody go. No fight. Praise God. Okay, let me leave that one. So before people fight me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans 3 verse 25. I want to rush this. Romans 3 25. God who has set forth to be a what? A propitiation through faith in where? In his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what? Past. Through what? The forbearance of God. Amen. Through faith in what? Now, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you will not understand why blood is important for forgiveness of sins. When you come to Jesus, the faith in Jesus is because Jesus, you are agreeing that Jesus shed his blood for your own sins. Praise God. And that faith that his blood is sufficient for your salvation gets you saved. Praise God. Do you follow me? Amen. And what it does is that whatever you might have done prior to that time is remitted or blotted out. This was how I said it somewhere. We know you as a kidnapper, as a Fulani man, and as what? Eh? God. And we have caught you. And we bring you before the judge of the whole earth. And then we call this guy in all these sins. These are the atrocities he has been doing in the earth. Then you went and got a very good judge. His name is Jesus Christ, the high priest. And when the devil has counted all your sins, the high priest said they have paid for it. And the judge makes a pronouncement that you are hereby discharged and acquitted. You can walk out free. You will walk out of that courtroom free. But does that change your nature? No. That is the problem with many people. They don't understand. Just like, see, they did not put the stories in the Bible because there was no space in the Bible. That woman that was caught in adultery, the Bible said we caught her red-handed. Jesus did not say you lied. Praise God. He didn't say so. Because he knew they were telling the truth. Amen. We caught her red-handed. Well, how do we know they caught her red-handed? I'm very sure the woman was not well clothed. They just put a wrap around her. She came to Jesus naked. So I'm red handed. Where is the brother that was involved? Don't worry about that one. I'm only. Praise God. After Jesus let her go, what did Jesus tell her? Go and sin no more. Because we have a class of people that say, oh, grace has covered that. That is not true. Grace has not covered that. Grace was given to you that when you step out of that court, grace will help you not to go back to be a Boko Haram again. That was why they gave you grace. To go and sin no more. But when you say, I don't need grace, you are again telling God the same thing that Adam told him. I don't need you. I can cope on my own. He says you will die. For those who are carnally minded and those who have not learned how to harness grace to live above that kind of life. And you know what defines you basically? Praise the Lord. When we say life, we are not talking about you breathing in air and breathing out air and digesting food. That is not life. Remember that I told you that there's a minimum of two kinds of life. Do you remember? The natural life and the unseen life. For man shall not live on bread alone, because without bread, this body will not survive. Amen. But there's another kind of life that you require the word of God to live by. Praise God. Are you following me? Amen. So what are we talking about here? That kind of life that God says you will live by the word can only be controlled by the word. That means that that word, when it comes into your heart, it has a way of adjusting the way you think. Because we're a product of what you think. For as a man thinketh where? In his heart. So if I capture your heart, I've captured you. That's just a technology. Amen. As you think, remember the manifestation of the flesh is where? You're thinking. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. You are unrighteous because of your thoughts. What is making you clean are your thoughts. For it is not what goes into your stomach that defiles a man, but what is coming out of him. So what is coming out of him are the things he thinketh. Praise God. Are you okay with me? At least you've gotten me thus far. You have followed me thus far. Praise God. So what happened with the blood of Jesus? There are many things the blood does. Are you with me? The first thing that the blood procures for us, forgiveness of sins. But it does a much more subtler work, a much more fundamental, a much more powerful work that we have not paid attention to. And I want us to just take a little look at this. Hebrews chapter 9. Amen. Let's take verse 9 and verses 12 to 14. Look at verse 9. Hebrews 9:9. I'll be going over scriptures that you are familiar with. But you need to just see them as they connect together. Are you there? Now, I was talking about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. I was telling us about the Old Testament. You know, and why it was not able to help them. God just could not go beyond that level with them. Because somehow, they were not just ready for it. Hallelujah. He said it was a figure for the time then present. In other words, what we saw in the Old Testament was a figure, a shadow, a reflection. It was not the reality. And it's interesting that if that shadow was very powerful, very, very powerful. No, you don't understand. Don't leave here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was alluding to this. He said, the testament that Moses handled was not glorious. The first time I came across that, I said, Brother Paul. Moses, I'm okay. Do you follow me? You don't know the glory that Moses welded. He stood before Pharaoh, the second calabash, Oledumori. So he said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is God, your God? Orisha. You don't know what they call Orisha. You don't know Orisha. Hey, you guys don't know Orisha. When they say somebody's Orisha, he himself is a deity that should be worshipped, like OBJ. When you wake up in the morning, you go and pay obeisance. I say, Baba Akinyo, praise God. Amen. Do you know that Shango was once a human being who became a god? Uh-huh. You don't know Yoruba mythology. It's all the same with Greek. They are all the same. The same demon in Greece is the same one that is in here. We want to do the same. Praise God. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So, you will understand when we begin to talk about these things. He said it could not help them. They could not be helped. And so, why could they not be helped? He said, it was, hey, I was talking about Moses, I forgot Moses. Moses was so glorious. Many thoughts are passing through my mind. I'm trying to, bro, pay me. The Lord is with you and me. Amen. 10 minutes. 4 minutes. Bro, pay me. The Lord forgive you. I'm not what time. I started by 11 o'clock. Amen. I'm finishing. I have 10 minutes. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. Can I borrow 5 minutes? At least they need to borrow time from MTN. Credit from MTN. Even though they came from South Africa, we still borrow. Praise God. Glory to God. Moses was very glorious. After standing before Pharaoh and dealing with Pharaoh and destroying that whole empire. They said in history, historical fact said that the Ark of Covenant that Moses was carrying does not go on hill. If they are coming and they want to pass through it, don't they? And those hills are there. They don't climb over those hills. Those hills will be leveled. They are the granite. Because the ark must pass on level ground. If they have to cross river, they will fill the river and it will go on level ground. Go and ask River Jordan when they were going to carry that ark in the days of Joshua. The part of the water stopped. It cut off that one that was going down. And then they now pushed the water miles upstream so that the ark can pass. Just Lord, try me with one of those miracles. I'm okay. Let your servant depart in peace. And mere Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians that was not glorious. If it is not glorious, then what is glorious? He said this New Testament of the Spirit is more glorious than that. And I said, bros, I can't see any glory. Can you guys see glory? Have you seen any glory? Do I look glorious to you? I don't look glorious, huh? Don't mind this suit. Package in Wegwe. Praise God. Then what is about this New Testament that is glorious? All those things you see in Old Testament could not accomplish the eternal purpose of God, which was to get men changed. Amen. Couldn't change anybody. Then what was the purpose of all those manifestations when men can't be changed? Do you know, are you aware, that the old Jonah, brother Jonah, did not do one miracle. But the whole nation got born again at his preaching. What kind of manifestation is that? Hello? Hello? Am I saying we should not do miracles? Let's just do miracles. If you can do it. If you desire it, please desire it. We need it. Praise God. But what am I trying to say? That at the back of God's mind is not those miracles as it were, but that men can change. So the purpose for giving the Holy Ghost is to get men to change. Amen. And so Paul said that it was a figure of that time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did what? Okay. That did the service perfect. As pertaining to what? Conscience. Anyway, please pay attention here. What I guess he should have said, that it could not make them acceptable to God. Now they kept coming, and God kept accepting them, but by God's mind, they were not perfect. So we see that God's intention was there to become perfect. Praise God. It could not make them perfect. As pertaining to what? Conscience. There was once a time I was talking to a sister, and when Jesus Christ, I was telling her, Jesus Christ said, be thou perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the sister said, Pastor, you and I know we cannot be perfect. I said, well, it's either of two things. Either God is lying, or you and I are the liars.
If you say be perfect as God is perfect, it means that it is possible. Abi?
So what should be the question is, what therefore are the provisions he has given so that we can be perfect? Blot it out of your mind that it is not possible. Did you hear what I said? Blot it out of your mind. Why? You will also be committing the same sin that Israel committed. When they stood in the land of promise, and they looked up and saw giants in the earth. And they saw giants. And they saw giants. And they came back and said to the congregation, indeed we were there. We spied the land. Flowing with milk and honey. Blessings unlimited. But there are giants in the land. The sons of Adam came out there. And when we talk about giants, I'm not talking about 10-foot tall giants. I've told us before, archaeological findings have found bones of human beings 40 feet tall. Not one place, not two places, scattered all over the Middle East. How do you fight a 40-foot tall man? I know you guys are not fighters, praise God. But just imagine I put you in a ring with a 40-foot tall man. You don't even stand a chance. In fact, as far as I would never come out for the battle. I'll just go and tell them I have malaria. We should develop a bye-bye. Amen. Hallelujah. So they were not telling a lie when they said we saw giants. Hallelujah. They were not telling a lie. That was the truth. But there was another truth. Did you hear me? There's what? Another truth. There is this song, there is this saying that said, whose report will you believe? The report of what they saw versus the report of God. It says, go in for I have given you the land. If he has given you the land, it can only mean that those giants were already gone, as far as God is concerned. Now, between reality and another reality, which of them will you believe? Do you understand me? So the Bible said, be careful that lest you have the same heart of unbelief. What they saw became impossible for them to overcome. Their minds could not comprehend the how. They could not find the how. Likewise, when God says, be perfect as I am perfect, your mind cannot conceptualize the how. Because when you look at yourself and you look at the problems that you have, you know you have problems. Amen. Can you imagine a jagaban coming to church? Where do we start from with him? Praise God. And yes, he has to be perfect like a father in heaven is perfect. You know we have work. Ah, Ishewa. It's not the share in the river. We really need the Holy Ghost work. Amen. Do you follow me? In between your present reality and the reality declared by God, faith must come in. The bridge is faith. Two men demonstrated it. They said, be silent. Be quiet. We are able. And the people picked up stones to stone them. Because they felt that they were too much of an issue. You know issue? Do you know issues now? Are you looking at me as if you have not... You have not called people lessons before. Then your own is too much. You get out. I'm a SU. What is the other name they call them? Spirit. Eh? Spirit Coco. Spirit Coco. Spirit. Oh. You know I'm not that intelligent. Praise the Lord. Where are we? He could not make them that did that service. They had to go for service. Like all of you come to service. Say, I'm going. Where, on Sunday, where you dress? Where did you say you were going? You were going for
service.
Praise God. Like they also went to service then. Their own service was almost every day. You come once a week. Your own case is bad.
If they were coming every day and they were not yet perfect, then you that is coming once a week. There's no hope for you. Amen. Do you follow me? Yeah. Give me verse 12. Pertaining to what? Conscience. That means there's something that God was looking for. He was not looking for perfection from any other place, except from where? The conscience. Amen. That suggests to me, because God will not behave like human beings, and in fact, human beings have become so smart, that human beings say that if you want to deal with a tree, you don't cut the branches. Right? What do? You go to up the root and uproot it from the roots. Otherwise, that tree will grow again. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Where did he enter? He entered in once into the holy place. I would obtain eternal redemption for us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean. It was the unclean that always attended service every day. And yet the Bible said they could not be perfect. Are you with me? But they sprinkled them, declared them ceremonially clean, physically clean, but the conscience was not clean. Pay attention. Sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of what? The flesh. Verse 14. He now said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, what would that blood do? What would that blood do? What will it purge? A conscience. Therefore, it appears to me that the problem of Adam was his conscience. That was where Adam died. Because God went to the root to go and deal with the problem. Did you understand me? The problem was in the conscience. Purge your conscience from what? Dead works. Because it is from your conscience that dead works emanate from. All the works you do, everything you do that you call works, they are dead. And they are unacceptable to God. Praise the Lord. They are unacceptable to God. It will require the blood of Jesus to purge that conscience from those dead works. Where Jesus Christ says, from the abundance of that heart, cometh what? All evil. From that heart comes black witchcraft. From that heart comes white witchcraft. Do you follow me? From that heart comes manipulation. From that heart comes wicked motives. Like we said this morning, that it's possible for you to seek the gifts of the Spirit with a wrong motive and people will not know. I say, bro, I just thank you for this church. Lord, I just appreciate you for this church. Thank you for giving me the spirit of, power. Thank you for the spirit of prophecy. I just bless you. If not for you, who will I be? But deep inside, is that a shake where exalts him in church, he aunt him up in low and charge. Are you with me? What he's saying is different. What is going on in his mind? Nobody can know except he who reads the heart. His pro is coming from where? A conscience that is defiled. A conscience that is dead. You know when he says someone's conscience is dead, that means he has no feelings. Have you heard that people say so? Dead consciences. Paul talked about people whose conscience have been seared. Until you draw iron. It has a resistance to anything that it can't be touched. And so whatever comes out of it is unacceptable to God. The Bible says the blood of Jesus purges that conscience. Praise God. Now this is how John put it as I bring this message to a close. I'll continue next week. 1 John 1:7. Remember I said this. That when you stepped out of that courtroom, you were pronounced not guilty. from that courtroom as you go in life, if they don't deal with the problem from where it was emanating from, you still go back and come back again, and that just say, it was me again. Am I being used to me? And they keep getting you saved every day, every day. One day you go and you will not come back. It was every day for the thief. Because it is God that said, if somebody offends you and he comes back to say, I am sorry, say you will do what? You forgive him. Say, how many times should I forgive myself? 70 times, 70 times a day. So you can offend God. Amen. You must be a wicked person if you offend God for 70 times 7. How much is that? 490 in a day. Oh, wicked. Let me go. Oh, wicked. As a pastor, I would say, God, you don't need to forgive him again. He's very wicked. Praise God. That is the minimum for men. God's minimum, I don't know. Are you with me? I said, I don't know God's minimum. More. If God is demanding, he says, they bid you go 1 mile. Be ready to go with them 2 miles. Therefore, by mathematical induction, you can afford to disobey God 490 times 2 a day. That's my own, no. Please, it's not the Bible. Did you understand me? Yeah. So that means God cannot go, you and I, in forgiving. But a day will come when you will not remember to come back. Then you will have hanged yourself. You just hang yourself. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. He said, but if we walk in the light, condition, if we walk where? In the light. John said many people don't want to come to the light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to confess it. They don't want God to expose it. They don't come to church so that it can be exposed. But if you make up your mind that in spite of the fact that I'm still not there, but you have made up your mind, grace helping you to walk in the light. Praise God. This is what the Bible says will happen. As he, Christ, is in light. It says we have fellowship with one another. And what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son. What does it do? It cleanses us. Now, if you are walking in the light, I do not suppose you'll be committing sin. It's not possible to walk in the light and be committing sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What is to walk in the light? It means to walk in the light. Amen. It means to follow and obey God. Praise God. It means to walk in love, because he told us that if I say I love my, I know God and I hate my brother, say you are still in the darkness. Do you follow me? So if I love my brother or my sister according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then I'm walking in the light. And when I walk in the light and I have fellowship, praise God, automatically there is a cleansing taking place. What are they cleansing? It is not the sins you committed, it is your conscience that they are purging. So Peter said something. That you get cleansed as you obey. Do you understand me? As you obey God, there is a purging taking place. You'll find that habit that has held you bound begins to lose its capacity to hold you anymore. Over time, you will look back and say, and I used to do these things though, but it's no longer there. I'm running up now. But let me finish this thought. When we say something is dead, it means that you are oblivious with existence. It means it has no influence. It means it has no capacity to compel you to act. Amen. Am I communicating? So if we take you from where you are seated and we put you into a situation that will naturally elicit a response from you. Amen. We find out that you will not be able to respond again. That tells me you are dead to that thing. Are you with me? You are already dead. They abuse you and say, Olori Bruku, are you on the da? You just looking at them. shot the enemy. But the enemy, I'm dead. That can only happen after they pushed you. If they don't push you, the tiger you will rise. I said, forget the fact that I'm a Christian. No. Hey, oh, mommy. The real guy has come back. There's a remembrance of sin. Remembrance of sin, not that you remember, when I was in Babylon. No, 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 no. You know how to sin. You have, your mind is very, very sharp. You are a gifted child. You know, even though you don't know book, you don't remember book, but you know how to remember how to sin. Praise God. Do you follow me? They need to purge you. That is why Paul now concluded, saying, go boldly. Where? The throne of grace. Because if you guys want to get out of this problem, you must know how to go. There's no way, nobody can help you. Not even I. Because I too need to keep on going. In the Old Testament, you only go before that throne once a year. But now you can go anytime. See. I can go. My dad, they get. Moranti, and you come back. God will say, Otilokota, I turn now. I'll be angel. How many times has he come today? He has come four times. Don't come again, no. Come again tomorrow. God does not say so. You can come as many times as you want. He won't drive you away. Lord, I remember Moman Paro, Moranti, and you go again. Lord, am I being one more? God is not angry. Come as often as you need. The blood that was shed is sufficient to take care of every problem. It's inexhaustible. So when Paul said in Hebrews 12, said we have come to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. You need to keep going. You need it for salvation. As you have received Christ, continue also in Him. How did you receive Christ? You went to the throne and asked for mercy. Ask for mercy. That is a procedural approach to it. You don't come to God and say, God, give me grace. They don't give grace anyhow. The first thing they first must give is mercy. Did you hear what I said? Brother, one more example. I promise. Don't do like that. Believe. Have faith. Praise God. Did you remember this? I'm serious. This is my last one. Do you remember when Esther went before the king without being called? Do you remember? Remember the story. Esther said, nobody appears before the king without being summoned. You don't appear before the king and just... Because if the man just chooses, they will take your head off, queen or no queen. Do you follow me? But she went in there and she was favored. When he spread that scepter, it was favor and mercy that saved her. What was grace? The request she now asked of the king. So you ask for mercy first. They say, come forward. What do you want? Lord, I'm still having problems bedwetting. Is that all? All right. Holy Spirit, begin the work in her. Do you follow me? But just come. Give me grace. Give me grace. They will not even see you. Because technically, you have no right to come in. Amen. What gives you right is advocate. You are coming on the platform of mercy. That was why blind Bartimaeus was answered. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. It's mercy. Can we bow our heads to pray and ask God for mercy? As we approach Him this morning in prayer, Lord, I need mercy. I don't know what it is that you have need of. Jesus, the Godhead, had dealt with the matter about the fall. Everything about the fall has been taken care of. The problem we have is discovering it. We need to discover what God has done for us. We need to know what provisions has been made.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.